The First Best Christmas Night, a poem by Margaret Deland. Like small curled feathers, white and soft, the little clouds went by, across the moon and past the stars and down the western sky. In upland pasture, where the grass with frosted dew was white, like snowy clouds, the young sheep lay, that first best Christmas night. The shepherds slept, and glimmering faint, with twist of thin blue smoke, only their fire's crackling flames the tender silence broke. Save when a young lamb raised his head, or when the night wind blew, a nesting bird would softly stir where dusky olives grew. With finger on her solemn lip, night hushed the shadowy earth, and only stars and angels saw the little Savior's birth. Then came such flash of silver light across the bending skies, the wondering shepherds woke and hid their frightened, dazzled eyes. And all their gentle, sleepy flock looked up, then slept again, nor knew the light that dimmed the stars brought endless peace to men, nor even heard the gracious words that down the ages ring, "The Christ is born, the Lord has come, goodwill on earth to bring." Then, o'er the moonlit, misty fields, dumb with the world's great joy, the shepherds sought the white-walled town where lay the baby boy. And oh, the gladness of the world, the glory of the skies, because the longed-for Christ looked up in Mary's happy eyes. Let's just pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, bless us with your presence this morning, and may we experience the fullness of joy your indwelling Holy Spirit provides. Have your way in the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what a wonderful time of year this is, especially if you have children or young grandchildren. Their excitement rubs off on me, and I can't help but be taken back in time to my own childhood experiences. Like the time I tried to stay up until I could see Rudolph's red nose coming closer to my bedroom window, when in reality it was the red light at the top of a television tower. Why wouldn't it come closer? I was getting so sleepy, and my little brother Jimmy was already sleeping in the bunk below. Finally, I just drifted off to sleep. But my earliest remembrance of Christmas recalls my mother at the piano on Christmas Eve, with a room full of aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends singing with loud enthusiasm the beautiful carols of Christmas. And when I say the room was full, my mother was the youngest of a blended family of 18 children, for which my grandmother, Irene Devine, had responsibility after being widowed 3 times. Many of the Devine family had married after the Second World War, and so the multiplied horde would descend on 843 Steadwell Street in London, Ontario, and enjoy spending an evening together. Because of the love of Jesus in my grandmother's heart, joy spilled over into that crowded room, and I experienced the joy of the Lord, which was her strength. Well, this morning, I want to spend my time with you talking about joy. Not just one or two joys, but many of the instances of joy that we understand and experience from God's Word. As I prepared, there were so many verses to choose from. It was hard to decide on just a few. But we're going to do a little romp through Scripture, and we're going to listen to some poetry along the way. Gage's Canadian Dictionary defines joy as a strong feeling of pleasure gladness, happiness, and outward rejoicing. Joy is such a popular word that this year, for the first time ever, Oxford Dictionary's Word of the Year is a pictograph, officially called the Face with Tears of Joy Emoji. Joyce, you know all about that. A word picture. Isn't that amazing? And so why is it that there is so much talk of joy at Christmas? Is there more to it than the fleeting happiness that gifts and goodwill provide? Joy has a long history, beginning early in God's plan for mankind. Job 38 tells us that at the foundations of the world, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Joy was expressed in the presence of God because of his wonderful creation, and God himself was pleased with what he had made. He saw that it was good. But we know that things didn't stay that way. And because of disobedience, the fellowship between the Lord and his creation was severed. However, this was not the end of joy. All through the Old Testament, God gave hope that joy would be restored. Isaiah 35:10 says, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Psalm 47:1 encouraged the people of Israel to shout to God with cries of joy as they looked forward to the day when Messiah would reign in Jerusalem, the city that will be the joy of the whole earth. Isaiah 55:12 promises, "We shall go out with joy and be led out with peace." And Isaiah 61:3 offers the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Zephaniah 3:17 tells us, "God will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Imagine God singing over us with joy. But when is this joyous time to be? Well, Romans 8:18-21 in the Message Bible tells us that the created world can hardly wait for what's coming, and meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. On that first Christmas night, a long-awaited, new, and exciting experience of joy was about to begin. Look with me at the news heralded by angels to shepherds on a hillside near Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. This was not a solemn announcement. This was pure joy. But what is this joy that God desires for us to feel? What is this love that wills good news and great joy for all the people on whom his favor rests? What is the news that God revealed to mankind at just the right time, in just the right place, fulfilling prophecies from ancient times and revealing the mystery and hope of ages past? The announcement that the long-awaited Messiah was born was the news the faithful had been waiting and praying for. This was good news. This was great news. This was the best news ever. Glory to God in the highest. Luke 2:10-11 tells us, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Born the King of Israel. And even wise men from faraway lands came to worship this king, led by a star in the east. Matthew 2:10 tells us, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This joy was really getting around. And I think we can see why there is so much joy at Christmas. But we know that this joy was mixed with sorrow. and as a just and devout man named Simeon prophesied to Jesus, Mother Mary, a sword would pierce her soul. Yes, there was joy at his birth, but a different kind of joy would be the driving force in Jesus' life. Hebrews 12:2 says, For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what was this joy that was set before him? Listen to this poem called For the Joy. We were the joy set before him, each one a trophy of grace. Our names penned forever in glory, the thought of it gladdened his face. Only 1 week and then victory, smiling, he quickened the pace, riding in meekness and splendor to give of himself for our race. Yes, it's the joy of mankind's reunion with its creator that gave Jesus the determination to endure the suffering he experienced to secure our salvation. In Luke 15:10, joy pops up again when we're reminded that there is joy in the presence of God over one sinner who repents. And 1 Peter 1:8 and 9 says that though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And there is also joy in the life of the believer, even when circumstances are difficult or when we face trials and persecution of any kind. And we can't forget the famous admonition in Philippians 4:4, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. According to Colossians 1:11, we are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And Jesus tells us in Luke 6:23 to rejoice in that day and weep for joy, just like that little emoji. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. And speaking of heaven, who doesn't enjoy a good love story? You know, the man is alone, he meets and he falls in love with a special young lady and she falls in love with him. They enjoy each other's company. Actually, their joy is only complete when they're together. Then one day something happens to disrupt their relationship. There's a misunderstanding and a break in their fellowship and all is lost. Both parties are sad and lonely and feel as though joy will never return to their lives. But yet there is hope. One of them takes the initiative to restore the relationship. All is forgiven and they live happily ever after. Well, does anyone but me think that this timeless story is familiar? We women especially enjoy a good romance. It seems to be part of our DNA. But the story of creation and God's plan for redemption is the greatest love story ever told. Revelation 4:11 declares, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Think of Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. There was joy and peace in his presence. Now, think of what was lost when our sin broke that fellowship. Because of God's great love in sending Jesus, the perfect sacrifice for our sin, that relationship can be restored when we put our faith and trust in him. Psalm 16:11 proclaims, You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And Romans 14:17 says, The kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do we understand, dear ladies, that it is all about joy. And this is what I want you to take home with you today. God's joy is a relationship with us, and our joy is a relationship with Him. This is an experience of God's love in our hearts that our circumstances can't take away. Here is a little poem called Joy that sort of sums up what I've been sharing with you today. Eternal joy was echoing within the courts of God long before a baby's cry rang in the early dawn. Heaven's joy would come to earth wrapped in swaddling clothes, and angel choirs proclaim the birth of heaven's gift to man. Joy would shine in infant eyes and glow in acts of love as he grew to show the world his Father's heart of love. The joy that was set before him gave courage the cross to endure. The prospect of having us with him calmed every earthly fear. It is the joy, hope of the joy of reunion with saints from below and above that gladdens the heart of our Savior and gives us sweet rest in his love. So let us rejoice and sing praises, for heaven's joy soon will return to rule and to reign in his kingdom of justice and peace on the earth. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." Jesus tells his disciples that after his resurrection, he will see them again, and they will rejoice, and no one will take away their joy. There was joy in eternity past, joy at creation, joy at the announcement of Jesus' birth, and yes, even joy at the cross. There is joy in heaven at the moment we put our trust in Jesus Christ. There is joy in lovingly serving Jesus in good times and bad. And this is the joy that makes our faith contagious. And there will be joy when he comes again, and joy for all eternity. The remembered joy of my childhood's Christmas Eve is just a little taste of the joy to come when all God's family are together forever with him. Here's a little poem I wrote for our Connect Four ladies, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. It's called Together at Last. He envisioned a morn ere creation was born, when he'd feel the rough warmth of the hay. He created a skin he'd be comfortable in, as soft in the manger he'd lay. He thought of the hour he'd wrap up his power disguised as a helpless babe. God become man, his Father's great plan, to redeem the lost world he had made. He saw the great joy as the birth of a boy would shine through the darkness of sin. As angels would sing, wise men treasures would bring, all this Mary would ponder within. He knew he would grow in his life here below, in favor with God and man, and he saw every man who'd be part of his clan, and each woman who'd loved him so. He felt how hearts yearned for each lesson they'd learn, as he'd teach them along the way, how he'd heal and restore, and they call out for more as he'd turn sin's dark night into day. He'd teach them to live, to love and forgive. He'd show them his servant heart. Then he'd follow God's will as he'd climb Calvary's hill, his face set to do his part. He saw death's defeat, our salvation complete, at peace with his Father's plan. And for joy set before, he would open the door for each boy, girl, woman, and man. He saw it as done, ere the world had begun, and he smiled in eternity past, for his great love would win, and a new world begin, God and mankind together at last. We're going to listen to a carol now that declares great joy to the world. It is sung at Christmas, but as you know, it is a song that really looks forward to that wonderful day when joy will be in and all around us forevermore. Let's listen as Celtic Woman sings Joy to the World, and then I will close with prayer. Let's just pray together. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. In Jesus' name, amen.